You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, December 14th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Singing Through Advent. The message focuses on Luke 2, verses 25 through 35, and is entitled Simeon's Song.
I want to invite you to grab that pew Bible in front of you, or maybe the Bible that you brought with you, and turn with me to Luke's Gospel. We're going to be looking together at a story, as I said earlier, of a man named Simeon, a righteous and devout man who every day went to the temple, day in and day out, because he had heard from the Spirit, he had heard from the Lord that he would not pass, he would not perish until he had seen the consolation of Israel. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25 and continuing through verse 35. When I'm done, I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, so that if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, thanks be to God. Listen carefully, we're reading God's holy word. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. His father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. I want to begin by asking you a question. Now, with the dawn of each new day, how do you greet the morning? Are you the type of person who throws open the curtains in the bedroom and gets up and says, good morning, new day? I'm gauging by the laughter that is maybe a very few of you. Or are you the type of person who hears the alarm and then gives it a left hook? And then pulls the pillow over your ears and rolls over and begs for just one more hour? Gauging by the silence that's many of you. Or are you the type of person that rolls out of bed, does 20 push-ups just to get the blood flowing? How do you rise to greet each new day? You see, the truth is that in our own way, we are all guided and we're all influenced by that little idol that sits atop the altar right next to our beds. In some way or another, the clock guides our day. The clock even calls the shots in our day. There's a riddle in honor of the third installment of the Hobbit movie series, which comes out on Tuesday. I thought I would recall a riddle that Gollum shared with Bilbo in The Hobbit. He says this: all things devour. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to metal, slays king, ruins towns, and beats mountains down. That, of course, is time. There's a story of a pastor who was invited to go to Africa to be with a church that they were sister churches across the ocean. And while he was there, he kept noticing that the people there kept noticing that he would look down at his wrist all the time. One day, one of them pointed out that he asked what the people were talking about, and the translator said, "They're asking what type of God it is that you wear on your wrist because you keep looking down at it. You keep sort of bowing your head to this God on your wrist." And then he said this resting thing. He said, "Here in Africa," "the difference between you and us is that you have so many watches, but no time. Whereas we have no watches, and we have all the time in the world." Today's message touches on a serious question that we all have to face in one way or another, and it's this: what do you do when you have no choice but to have to wait? And the issue in your waiting is much more serious than the checkout line at the grocery store or the line at the bank teller. What do you do when you had a dream for your gifts that dream is not coming true? What do you do when you're single and you don't want to be? What do you do when the intimacy in your marriage is gone? What do you do when you long for that relationship with a teenager who just keeps pushing you away? What do you do when a grown child is struggling with addiction? What do you do when your loved one is hooked up to a machine that's keeping them alive? What do you do when your children move two states away and bring the grandkids with them? This is for my parents, who will be hearing this online at some point. What do you do? Waiting is an inevitable part of life. It's something that we all have to face. And the question is, will we face it the way that Simeon faces it? Or will we with resolute faith and trust? Or will we slink back into despair? Simeon teaches us how to wait. Simeon in Luke's gospel tells us that Simeon is a man who is righteous and devout. He's a man who loves Torah, that he's dedicated to following and learning and serving God. And so every day he goes to the temple because the Holy Spirit had told him that he would not die until he had seen Israel's consolation. And at this point in Israel's life, they are kind of in an in-between period of the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you know from your biblical history that from the end of the prophet Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament and the first book in the New Testament, there's roughly 430 or so years that had passed. And so 430 years, as we heard last week, God is silent. But God's Spirit came to Simeon and said, "You will see Israel's vindication. You will see the consolation of your people within your life." And so every day, Simeon goes to the temple, day in and day out, waiting, expecting, hoping that he is going to see and feel and experience something from God. What it is he was waiting for, or what he thought he would see, is not exactly maybe what he did see. I want to do a little word study here with you. In the original language, Greek, the New Testament was written in, there's a word here that is used for waiting. The word is prosdekomai. Say that with me once. Prosdekomai. Prosdekomai is a combination of two words. They're smashed together. The word dekomai is the word to wait, and the word pros, you could probably imagine, is the word forward or anticipation or forward. So this word prosdekomai just means waiting forwardly, waiting with anticipation, waiting with hope. So the translation here is a little bit cumbersome, but you can kind of get what it's saying. You know, to wait forwardly is to wait with hope, with an end in mind. And we get a better feel for this in our English with the phrase to look forward to. When you look forward to something, you're waiting, but you're waiting with expectancy, with hope. Max Lucado describes Simeon as being patiently vigilant. Not so patient that he loses his vigilance, and not so vigilant that he loses his patience. It would have been so easy for Simeon to, after long years and years and years of waiting and years and years of years of not seeing this promise, to simply give up and to throw in the towel and lose his vigilance, lose his dedication. For some of us, that might be where we are right now. Maybe you've been waiting for something for a long time and it just doesn't seem to come, and you're like, enough with it already. I'm done. Simeon could have had that attitude. Maybe for some of us, we need to hear it again and again. Perhaps God is saying that to us, that don't give up on the dream. That thing that you had prayed for, that thing that you had hoped for, keep hope alive. Don't cash in on that relationship just yet. Don't lose hope in that child who just doesn't seem to come around. Don't lose hope for that family member who is ill and you don't see the end in sight. But it could have also been for Simeon that his hope was so high and his zeal was so intense that he wanted to see the prophesied one right now. He wanted to see that consolation happen now. And that's, we have in our culture, we have, even in our churches, we have this sense of, we want to see God work now. And so we command God to work. But that's not how it works either. For others, where we find ourselves struggling to remain patient in the face of great expectations. There are some things that just can't be engineered. There's some things that we can't manufacture. There's some things that we just have to wait for. So maybe God is saying to all of us today, you know, you're just going to have to trust me on this one. You're just going to have to trust me that I've got it all in mind. I know it's hard, but be patient. Relax. I've got this under control. Patiently vigilant. Not so patient that we lose our vigilance, and not so vigilant that we lose our patience. Simeon could have gotten angry and resentful towards God for all the years that he had to wait, but he recognized that in the waiting, God was cultivating maturity, a spiritual strength inside of him that was just as important for him as actually seeing the Christ child with his own eyes. One of our Heavenly Father's prayers for all of us is that we will slow down long enough to take in the gifts that God wants to give us. And of course, the greatest gift of all is Jesus. This is what drives Simeon to get out of bed day in and day out. This is what drives Simeon to put on his robes and to make his way to the temple each and every day. Even when people around him are scoffing at him and saying, oh, look at silly old Simeon, still hanging on to a hope. It's as though this day might be the one. This day. The thought that this day I will see God's salvation that propels him to go day in and day out. And finally comes that day. And he does see the Christ child. And he wraps the child into his arms and he sings this hymn of praise. He sings these wonderful words, God, you are dismissing your servant now in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon gets the answer. He sees God at work. You see, it's the vigilant hope that Simeon has to keep him getting out of bed each morning and say, today, God, is today going to be the day? Something happens when our patience gives way to God's answered prayer. And it may not be something noticeable to anybody else but you. Maybe it's just something that happens inside. Day in and day out, waiting patiently and prayerfully, as Simeon did, for God to work in your life and for that consolation to come. There's a very real possibility that when that answer does come, when we see and experience God work in us, that it won't be readily apparent to anybody else but us. Whether it's a child who says thank you after years and years of taking, a parent who peacefully passes into the arms of God, a job in which you can now go to with peace and confidence to know that you are just the right person for it, a spouse who has that gleam of hope back in their eye. Simeon knew it when he saw it. He knew it. And he left the temple that day with peace. Peace to know that God has not left us. Peace to know that God is still enthroned and that he is in control. Peace to know that wherever we go, it is God who not only sends us, but God who goes with us. Simeon's song of praise in Luke 2, in Latin it's called the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, let your servant now go in peace. For your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen the salvation in which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and a glory for your people Israel. We don't know where Simeon went after he left the temple this day. We don't hear from Simeon again. His is one of the multitudes of lives that after encountering Jesus departed with a whole new outlook, a whole new horizon, a new life. The wonderful irony of all of this, as I mentioned, is that life around us may not immediately change. Maybe it's just a simple peace that exists in our hearts, in a confidence to face what God brings to us. To know that finally the waiting is over. You know, each Christmas Eve, we under the cover of darkness, we gather in this room. We gather and we sing songs and we listen to words spoken about the most transformative event in human history that the world has ever known. And yet, what I always find so fascinating about that night is that on December 24th, while we are here in this place, with the exception of the commercial holiday that's going on around us, December 24th looks just about the same as any other night. It's really not all that different. And when we sing in this room, Silent Night, Holy Night, we're holding candles, and we're singing those words of praise, of thanksgiving to God. And we walk out that door. We walk out, and I always find this so fascinating to walk out at 12 o'clock midnight and to look at the corner of Hill and Miami and to see the quiet of a world that looks much the same as it did when we walked in, but is entirely different. A world that has been transformed and changed and is totally new. Everything appears as it was, but somehow everything is different. This is what Simeon saw when he looked into the eyes of that baby. And maybe, just maybe, God gave Simeon a little glimpse of heaven's perspective. In closing, I just want to share with you, as we talked about walking out onto the corner of Hill in Miami and looking out and thinking, you know, things aren't really all that different than when we walked in. I want to give you a different perspective of that event. This is the perspective that's talked about in Revelation chapter 12. This is heaven's view of the birth of Jesus. That text says nothing about shepherds or wise men, but it depicts a dragon leading a ferocious struggle in heaven. A woman who is clothed with the sun, wearing a crown of 12 stars, cries out in pain as she gives birth to a child. Suddenly, the enormous dragon descends, his tail sweeping away a third of the stars, and he crouches hungrily before the woman, eager to devour her child at birth. And at the last instant, the child is snatched away to safety, and he flees into the desert. The dragon is furious and takes his anger out on the other children who remain behind. This is no ordinary holiday. Christmas Eve is no ordinary holiday. It's not your average night, especially not when a dragon slayer is born. Simeon and later we learn about Anna. Simeon and Anna looked through the patience and the waiting and the ritual of going to the temple day in and day out, and they saw the miracle of salvation come to them. On the surface, everything was the same. But in reality, nothing was the same. For because of this child, the entire human race, the entirety of human existence, is now entirely different. This is why Simeon is able to say, "Lord, dismiss me now in peace." This is why Simeon is able to walk away and know that the consolation has come. The dragon has been slayed. Those things that discouraged or defeated us before now no longer will. The Savior is born. And friends, that changes everything. Let's pray. Lord, give us heaven's perspective on these days and weeks of waiting. Give us a sense of the transformative and earth-shattering nature of what it is we are doing, what it is we are proclaiming, what it is that we are gathering to bear witness to and remember. Give us that patient anticipation. Enable us to wait forwardly in hope, knowing that life as it is now is not how it always will be. For unto us a child is coming into the world. Unto us a son is given. And on his shoulders our lives rest. And in his life, our life finds its peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.